It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore how hospital mergers and acquisitions in Wisconsin affect patient care and affect healthcare costs. According to health policy research organization KFF, hospital and health system mergers, they're common. Call in with a question, share your perspectives, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Rachel Werner is a professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine and executive director of Leonard Davis Institute of Health Economics. Dr. Werner, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, yesterday we had news in our state of a signed definitive agreement that would merge two nonprofit healthcare systems, St. Luke's in Duluth, Minnesota, and Aspirus in Wausau, Wisconsin, in our state. And so this follows at least four other major hospital mergers, either announced or finalized in Wisconsin over the last year. What are the main factors that are driving hospital consolidations?
Well, healthcare consolidation is certainly not just happening in Wisconsin. It's a trend we're seeing across the entire country, and it's impacting every aspect of healthcare, from hospitals to physician practices. For hospitals, merging has several potential benefits. Hospitals often claim that it allows them to increase the coordination of care across hospitals. It reduces duplication of services within a market. It can actually improve integration and management and also reduce operating costs for a hospital. So hospitals look at mergers as a way to improve their efficiency and potentially increase access to acute care services. And so those are the arguments often that hospitals use when they're looking to merge with other hospitals in their area.
Well, here we have, in this case that I just mentioned, two nonprofits are, and you know, as a combined organization, they would operate, they say, 19 hospitals. Are mergers of two nonprofit health systems beneficial in some respects that wouldn't otherwise be beneficial?
So mergers in general, whether it's a for-profit hospital or not-for-profit hospitals, like the cases that you're citing, have a detrimental effect on prices. They tend to increase the price that insurers pay for care for commercially insured individuals. And they don't really have improvement in quality. And so really what we see is just higher prices, no improvement for patients.
I want to touch down on the word trend. You called this a trend. When did you start seeing the wave? I mean, some people point to the Affordable Care Act. How did this trend begin in mergers and consolidations?
So the trend goes back far before the Affordable Care Act. It's not a new trend or a new challenge. It has rapidly accelerated recently. Going back into the 1990s, there were just under 2,000 hospitals. And then between 1998 and now, we've seen a decline from mergers in the number of hospitals, going from about 8,000 down to just over 6,000 hospitals. So really, 25% decline in the number of hospitals in this country, in part due to mergers. Over time, the number of independent hospitals has declined predominantly because of these mergers. And at the same time, the number of hospitals that are part of a larger system has increased. So most recent numbers that I've seen is that by 2017, about two-thirds of all hospitals were part of a larger system as compared to only half of hospitals in 2005. And so it's a trend that's been going on for quite a while. It's not clear why it's going on. The Affordable Care Act may have accelerated this trend increased hospitals feeling that they need to merge to be able to respond to some of the incentives in the Affordable Care Act. But it's certainly been a long-term trend that we've been watching in healthcare.
We're talking about hospital mergers with Dr. Rachel Werner, professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and executive director of Leonard Davis Institute of Health Economics. You can join in with your question and your comments at 800-642-1234. Dr. Werner, is this consolidation you're seeing affecting urban and rural areas differently?
We're seeing consolidation across both urban and rural areas. What we're seeing in rural areas is slightly different. And so what we've been talking about so far is really what we think of as a within market consolidation, where two hospitals within the same market merge. What we're seeing in urban area in rural areas is something we often refer to as cross-market consolidation, where a hospital from outside of the region that the hospital serves merges with that hospital. And so those cross-market consolidations are equally as concerning as the within market consolidations. The rural situation is particularly interesting because many rural hospitals are closing in the United States. And they're closing at a more rapid rate than urban or other metropolitan hospitals. The mergers that happen for these rural hospitals may actually keep them open. It may prevent closure of those hospitals. But we still worry about the effect that those mergers have on prices and on quality of care.
You mentioned cross-market mergers, and this month a deal fell through involving Unity Point Health and Presbyterian Healthcare Services that would have created a 48-hospital system from Wisconsin to New Mexico. Do out-of-state owners operate differently than systems that are locally owned?
Well, that's one of the worries about cross-market consolidation, is that out-of-state owners may have less concern about community needs, less familiarity with what community needs are, and less incentive to invest in the needs of a community. The effects of those cross-market mergers on things like market power, which is what increases prices, are really quite similar, though, to within-market mergers. And the way that works is that hospitals, when they merge across two markets, it increases the acquired hospital's bargaining position. So those hospitals that are acquired within Wisconsin have a better bargaining position with insurers, and so they can demand higher prices. And so in many ways, cross-market mergers are really very similar to within-market mergers.
How are healthcare workers affected by hospital mergers?
The concern for healthcare workers is that when there are mergers, it may decrease staffing levels within hospitals. Whether or not that's true is really unclear. I think from the hospital's perspective, they perceive some efficiencies in the staffing when they merge, because they can move staff between hospitals depending on the demand within those hospitals. So they're better able, in economic terms, to match the supply of staffing with demand for those staff. The concern among hospital staff, which is justified, is that it may decrease staffing levels overall as merged hospitals seek to create efficiencies and worsen working conditions. And I think the jury is out on that, though it is certainly something to be concerned about.
In general, are those the types of apprehension you feel that are coming out of healthcare unions? I mean, how do healthcare unions feel about mergers?
So I think healthcare unions certainly are keeping an eye on healthcare mergers. I would say that healthcare unions are primarily concerned with working conditions and wages and benefits. And their specific stance on mergers, I don't know, but I imagine that it's something that they are concerned about.
Dr. Rachel Werner is a professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, leads the Leonard Davis Institute of Health Economics as we discuss the consequences of hospital system mergers in Wisconsin and elsewhere. You can call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. With hospital mergers and acquisitions underway around Wisconsin, we check in on the healthcare landscape with a University of Pennsylvania physician economist. Dr. Rachel Werner is here exploring the effects of consolidation on medical services. You can join the discussion at any point, calling in with a question. You can share your perspectives, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Werner, you just testified before the Pennsylvania House of Representatives on hospital consolidation, and you told lawmakers that mergers can increase commercial health care prices by up to 50%. Why can mergers increase cost to this degree?
Yeah, so the increase in prices that we see, specifically commercial prices, actually makes a lot of sense. Higher prices are the result of a hospital's increased market power after merging. And with fewer other hospital options in the market, the ability of a merged hospital to use that market power to negotiate higher prices from insurance is a real problem. What happens is that hospitals negotiate with insurers over network and over price, and insurers want to build a network of hospitals that's a good value to their consumers and their customers. So when there are two hospitals that are in the same market and they are perceived to be of equal value, so they provide equally high quality care, similar services, and what we think of as good substitutes for one another, those hospitals, when the insurer goes to try and include them in their network, those hospitals have to compete to be included because one is equally good from the insurer's perspective as the other. The insurer can then bargain on price. And so they can say, you know, we'd like to include you. We're going to include whichever one comes in at a lower price. That obviously results in a lower contracted price with the insurer. But when two hospitals merge, the insurer will want to include the merged hospital in the network if there's no other good substitute options in that market. But once they're merged, they can no longer bargain over price. So there's no alternative to the merged hospitals. This results in higher prices.
And you really, thank you for explaining the marketplace. Just peeling back the curtain a bit, how do you know there is a spike in costs when hospitals may not make their pricing on services easily accessible to patients?
Well, so researchers have studied this in a variety of different ways. There are some data sets that allow researchers to see the prices that are contracted with the insurers. Mm. The inability of consumers to see those prices has been a real problem in healthcare marketplaces, and it's actually a problem that was addressed through a federal law that was passed about 4 years ago, which aimed to improve price transparency in hospitals. And so hospitals and insurers are now required by federal law to release that contracted price to the public. The idea there is that it promotes competition. It allows consumers and also other insurers to more readily observe what those contracted prices are and prevent sort of some of the concerns around price gouging. That law, I think, while well-intentioned, has been hard to implement in a way that is usable to consumers because there's just so much data about prices at hospitals that it's very, very hard to parse out. And so we haven't quite reached a place where that more accessible pricing data has been readily used by the consumer market.
As we examine the players in the marketplace, so to speak, you've warned about the effects of private equity investment in healthcare. How are investors affecting healthcare consolidation?
Right. So private equity is another trend in healthcare that economists and policymakers are actively monitoring. Acquisition of hospitals by private equity firms has soared over the past decade. And this has really sparked a debate about the growing influence of private equity in healthcare. And how it might affect all the same things we're concerned about with consolidation, which include costs, quality, and access. The private equity firms that invest in healthcare and hospitals specifically, the concern around them is that it may increase consolidation. And the way that happens is that private equity firms, at least in the physician market, tend to acquire relatively small physician practices one at a time. And the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, doesn't oversee or monitor those kinds of acquisitions that are less than $100 million. And so while a private equity firm may be acquiring just one small hospital or one small practice, over time within a market, they acquire more and more of those small, they do more and more of those small deals, and it results in market consolidation. At the end of the day, that market consolidation is no different than the market consolidation that we see from hospital mergers that we've been talking about. And this increase in consolidation can lead to higher commercial prices with no positive effects on quality. And it may also decrease access to care for patients.
As you examine the regulatory environment here, the Federal Trade Commission successfully challenged 4 hospital mergers last year and was set to challenge other consolidation attempts. How are state and federal antitrust agencies approaching hospital merger regulation? What do you see?
So the Federal Trade Commission at a federal level is certainly paying more attention to hospital mergers, and this has risen to the top. One of their priority items is to monitor this more closely, as you've noted. There are a number of potential state actions that could limit hospital consolidation, and also once mergers occur, the ill effects of consolidation. So states can serve as another potential check on anti-competitive mergers and can sue federal antitrust law and enforce their own laws. There was a recent review of state antitrust enforcement in healthcare, which identified several practices that states are using to support more robust enforcement of anti-competitive practices. And those include requiring hospitals to provide adequate notice for potential mergers, and also requiring them to have waiting periods, which really just allows states to have longer periods for review and also investigation of what the potential outcomes of those mergers might be. Mm-hmm. States have also established criteria for merger review and the ability to conduct a full analysis of the economic and healthcare implications. I think more action is happening within states in consolidated markets to try and prevent anti-competitive behavior, since there have already been so many mergers that have taken place. It's very hard once hospitals have merged to unwind that merger or to disaggregate those two hospitals. So we're now living in a world in which there is a lot of consolidation among hospitals. And so what states are focusing on is to try and prevent anti-competitive behavior from hospitals and insurers within those markets. And a lot of that has to do with the way monitoring the way insurers are contracting with hospitals and preventing anti-competitive contracting practices. And so those are some of the activities that states are engaging in. You know, I think at the extreme end, the states, because we're mostly most worried about higher prices, some states have opted to try and establish caps on prices and use rate setting to try and limit the increase in prices. So that's sort of the most extreme activities that states are participating in.
Dr. Rachel Werner with us, professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, executive director of the Leonard Davis Institute of Health Economics, as we talk about hospital mergers and the ripple effect. You can join in your questions and comments. Welcome, 800-642-1234. Dr. Werner, in March, the American Hospital Association issued a report saying, look, mergers provide scale to reduce healthcare costs and to improve care. Really the opposite of what you've been talking about here. What is your response to the American Hospital Association?
So when we look at the research that's been done out of academic settings, it's really quite consistent that mergers increase prices. And so there should be no doubt about that piece of this. Whether or not it affects quality and access, which is ultimately what the AHA was referring to in that report, is a little bit more open for debate. I think the research that I have reviewed suggests that for quality, there is definitely no improvement in quality once hospitals merge with one another. And there's been some evidence that quality goes down. The effect on access to care is a little bit even more muddy, but generally we find that as hospital markets become more consolidated, there's worse access to care, particularly for people enrolled in Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And so while the AHA is citing some efficiencies and sort of economies of scale that hospitals have after they've merged, those efficiencies are not translating to benefit for patients. And in fact, through higher prices, patients are bearing the brunt of that because they pay higher insurance premiums.
In our last moments together, how could state lawmakers address problems or begin to address problems stemming from hospital consolidation?
So I think states should continue to actively monitor mergers and try and require hospitals to be more transparent and have waiting periods around mergers. states should also more actively monitor the contracting practices of insurers to prevent anti-competitive behavior on the part of those contracting practices. Mm-hmm. And then states can also encourage more transparency related to price and quality, which allows consumers to try and choose the hospital that's best suited for their needs. And that really promotes competition. So it tries to counter some of the negative effects of consolidation in the market.
Dr. Werner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Rachel Werner, professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.